waiting on the snap. Nick Foles takes it and fakes it and throws over the middle. That's caught. Jared Cook's got it. He fumbled the ball and the Browns have it. They have it and pick it up and get it over the 15 at the 16-yard line. Jared Cook ends up fumbling the ball, and Jordan Poyer ends up recovering it, and the boos are out because the fans here feel that Cook has been an underachiever.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Single game tickets available straight from the source on ClevelandBrowns.com, the Browns mobile app. Secure tickets to upcoming Cleveland Browns games against the Cardinals, the Ravens, the Bengals, and the 49ers by visiting ClevelandBrowns.com or the Browns mobile app right now. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, we'll go back to the phone lines right now, 216-578-0850. And here we go. Let's go to Eric and Shaker now. Eric, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I want to start from the top of the Christmas tree down. I think that I never heard that Mr. Haslam had an idea of what he wanted this team to be when he got started. I always hear, hire the people that can do the job if you're not in it. I'd like to hear, hey, I want this team to run the football. I want my team to run the football, and we go in that direction. Any other variations will come from that. I don't see that because we can't run the football. I thought it was a very dumb play way back in our part of the field to throw a pass after Mr. Crowell just got 11 yards and got us a first down. I thought we should have continued to run the football.
Ran twice for 11, you're right, yep.
I felt we should have continued to run the football straight ahead. But we got exotic and threw the ball to the side and put our receiver just a few feet away from a guy getting ready to hit him. Okay, it happened. Maybe it was bad. But we can't run the football. I didn't like the play calling. I think you have to go back to what I started out with saying. You don't begin the season knowing you need receivers, and you don't have any receivers, the big receivers, that can stretch the field. That should have been a priority. It was not. You have to look at management again.
Can I ask you one question?
Go right ahead.
All things being equal, though, aren't you pretty pleased with where the offense is through the first seven games of the year? I mean, isn't this really much more of a defensive issue to you than the offense?
It was an offensive issue in the beginning. Now it's a defensive issue because now that our offense is starting to move the ball, is starting to put points on the board, our defense can't stop anybody. What's this thing I'm hearing about playing players out of position? Mingo, a linebacker now. If it was a focus that we're going to stop the run, that should have been the focus. I never liked the idea of the 3-4 defense. I thought you should always rush four guys and then get exotic with that, but we're not doing it. Everything that we're talking about on the radio is the flaws of the plan that was put in place at the beginning of the season. That's all you're talking about, the flaws. We don't have big defensive backs. We can't stretch the field. Something's wrong with our running game. Now our defense can't stop guys. I just thought it was just a bad – see, now we're late in the season and you're talking about making changes. I don't think maybe we should play force Johnny in now. If he knows the game, okay. If he doesn't know, if the coaches don't feel he knows the game, you know, he's a step or two behind our starter, maybe make him wait. I think we should then concentrate on our offensive line and running the ball and our defense, whatever it's going to take to stop the run. At this point in time, I don't think you should just panic and bench our now progressive quarterback and put him aside and now we're going to just play Johnny and whitewash the rest of the season. I just think it's too late now. You got to start from the beginning. You got to start at the top, and then you get into the season, and then you can make slight alterations. But now, the way it is now, it's just almost too late.
I hear you, and I think that you're right. It's at this point, it is tough, and you've got to give an opportunity to some of these guys to go ahead and play. That's what I think you're saying with hearing with Johnny. Yes, are there things that are issues? Are there things that are out there in the mix that are not happening? Yeah, there are a lot of issues. To me, the biggest issue, though, is the inability to stop the run. That's a huge, huge, huge issue to me.
It is, and it's something that, you know, you and I will constantly discuss until it's fixed. And I think even when we get a fix, most Browns fans and you and I will probably think of it as a fluke until they can do it week after week after week and start, you know, chomping back from that, what, 150 yards a game, 151 yards a game that we're giving up right now, until we get into the 120-yard range, which will probably put us at around 20th in the league, you're really not a believer.
Right.
And as you've mentioned, and I pointed out on the pregame show, we get Le'Veon Bell, we get Justin Forsett, we get the Arizona Cardinals, you know, tandem, you know, rushing the football. We're not going to see any slouches anytime soon.
No, we are certainly not in terms of the Cards.
Gio Bernard, Jeremy Hill,
then Le'Veon Bell. Then you come back to Justin Forsett, who's already run for a big number.
We see Carlos Hyde later in the season.
Carlos Hyde. You're going to see Marshawn Lynch later in the season. You're going to see
it's cringeworthy.
Charkhandrick West.
Who?
Who ran for over 100 yards last week against the Steelers.
Chefs.
Yeah, you're going to see him as well. 216-578-0850. Pat and Chesterlin, welcome to the show.
Yeah. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you,
man?
Good. You ask about the running game, and you know that's how I want to approach answering your question about what the biggest problem is on this team. It's the leadership. You know, we all know. I mean, you'd have to be blind if you think Ray Farmer should make another draft pick for this team. And I would, you know, as far as Mike Pettine, I really thought that we had found our guy, but his inability to come up with any answers for this team. I mean, it's like he sits up there at the podium and he's like powerless. Well, he's the head coach, and he's a defensive coach, and he can't come up with any answers. I mean, almost midway through his second season, this is the type of defense that he's developed, that he's delivering to us. It's an embarrassment. And I think anyone who's been following the Browns for long, I mean, we're getting this familiar feeling that we're heading for another house cleaning at the beginning of January. And anyone who believes that Mike Pettine is going to survive this is crazy.
And I think, thank you very much for the call. We greatly appreciate that as always. And what I see and what I hear when I listen to the players and when I listen to the coaches, and I'm either watching the actual press conference or reading some of the transcripts, as I'm not always readily available to watch all the press conferences, as they're not videoed either, but they all feel like no one wants to step on anybody's toes. No one wants to point the finger. No one wants to blame each other. And I guess through 7 weeks, you've got 14 more, 12 more, whatever it is, 10 more to be with each other before this is potentially blown up. But you look at a guy like Greg Hardy yesterday, and you watch the video of him on the sideline with some of the gaffes that were happening in the Cowboys game that led to them losing a football game, and you get a guy who's super emotional, almost crazy in the way he's acting in a full-on public setting on the sideline of a professional sports team. And my whole thing is, again, you're going to have 50% of people that go, man, that dude's crazy, right? And think it's totally outlandish and that he's wrong. But then you get 50% of the people go, I want that guy on my team. I want to go to war with that guy. I want to walk down the dark alley with him by my side, and I don't care what walks up upon me with him, but with him on my side.
So you just because he's at least showing the passion, and a lot of the tweets I'm getting today are like, I just want this team to show passion. I just want to see these coaches. And it was interesting. Being on the sideline, I was able to observe this firsthand. After the first three and out, that defense was fired up.
Then you could tell. Happens. You could feel it through the TV.
They were fired up again, and then as soon as the second turnover, it was just like, and then once Gurley started running, and it just got the whole place just deflated. And we're really in that game when we really shouldn't have been at the end of the first half.
Those are the types of games, and I say this, if you watch other football games besides the Cleveland Browns, that those types of deflating situations happen, but the game is surprisingly closer than it should be because one team's either possessing the ball or making big plays, but yet not capitalizing down the red zone. And you say you force them off the field on third down and they're kicking a bunch of field goals or they get the defensive touchdown, whatever it is. But then you make that one play and you get it to 10-7 or 10-10 and you take that 10-10 into halftime where you can feel like, man, we got punched in the mouth in that entire first half. But it's only 10-7 at halftime. It's only 10-10 or 10-3, and we get the ball to open the second half, and you have a decisive plan and a mindset like, we're in it, let's go. Right. And that, to me, is what seems to be escaping us at times. Because everyone wants to look at each other on who's going to make the play. And I think sometimes, and I'm not saying I was always this guy. So I, for those of you who are like, whoa, why didn't you make a play in your career? It's like, yeah, I was never that guy. But I always knew there were five guys to look to on every team that I played for that was a winning program that I could see those guys going like, it's my time. It's like, this is when LaDainian Tomlinson makes that play. This is when Wade Phillips dials up that blitz and we finally get home on Peyton Manning and, you know, or he throws us that pick. Someone was going to make that play.
Yeah.
And you knew it because you had the culture, you had the belief in your preparation and in your teammates.
And that's, it seems to be lacking, especially, and it's amazing because the right notes were hit on in the preseason. Words into action. The action has not been there for this defense. It's just, and you can say, well, the offense turned it over four times, and it did. The offense did turn it over four times, and that goes a long way to why you lose this game.
And the defense was 1-9 on third down, 1-9.
The defense did a great job for the second straight week. They did a very good job on third down. But it's about, you know, still, if you can't stop the run in the National Football League, I don't think you can win.
No, you can't.
I don't think you can win. Because you're just allowing the other team to control the game, control the physicality, and that's what's happening. Oh, rough one, folks. Rough one. All right, 216-578-0850. When we come back, we are going to quick. Well, actually, Dino, why don't we take a couple more, and then we'll double it up, and we'll have Jim Donovan at the top of the hour. Does that work?
Works for me.
All right, let's go. Sean and Boardman real quick. Sean, welcome to the show.
First of all, now I hear you guys talking about leadership, and somebody said, you know, you want to see somebody point fingers. The thing that I would like to see is what my college that I root for, Notre Dame, you know, Brian Kelly, he says, you know, he gets a question at a presser that says, hey, how come this guy failed to make this play, or why didn't you guys set up this blitz, or what have you, and he'll be like, well, that's on me. I didn't have my guys where they're supposed to be, or even the D coordinator come out and say, hey, that's on me. I didn't have my best 11 in that situation. That's my fault. It's my bad. But my first point I wanted to make, why I called a while ago about, was I think it's time to put Manziel in. And the reason why is you've got veteran volumes and volumes of tape on McCown. First of all, we need to let him heal up a couple weeks anyways. But you've got volumes and volumes of tape on McCown, so you know what you have in him. Don't know what you have in Johnny, to be honest with you. He's seen the field a few times, started once and won.
And well, the I just other think it's all about preparation for the future as well, and you got to develop him. You got to develop your talent. I think, especially if McCown is unable to go, it's obviously a natural lead into it. You'll have Johnny here, you'd have Cincinnati at Pittsburgh, then the bye week. You know, could you hold off until after the bye week? Sure, you could. I don't know if you're going to, but you certainly could if that's what they decided they wanted to do.
I have an inclination that a healthy Josh McCown or an 80% Josh McCown start in Mike Pettine's eyes will still get the start.
Yeah, I would. That would not surprise me whatsoever. That would not surprise me whatsoever. All right, one more call. We're going to take our breaks. Then Jim Donovan is going to be with us. 216-578-0850. Mike on his cell. What's up, Mike?
What's going on, guys? You were talking about this a little bit before, and this is really for Matt. How much stock do you put in drafting players, not only on ability, but who come from winning cultures?
A lot.
You know, Wilhelm, right. And I think about the colleges that these guys went to. You got Washington. You got Oklahoma State. You got Nevada. I mean, we're drafting players, and I'm not saying that they're not good players or they can't be successful in the NFL, but you know, you got a ton of talent. You look at a guy like Amari Cooper, who comes from Alabama, a winning culture, used to winning, cares about winning, probably
Gurley
doesn't
from
like
Georgia.
Winning. Right. Gurley from Georgia, these big time. I think about the players we drafted and where they came from. And winning is just not a culture at most of these places. And another point really quickly, if the Browns want to take a blueprint of how they want to play football or how they wanted to play football and win coming into the season, all they had to do was watch last night's game and watch the Carolina Panthers. Okay?
Yep.
They don't have great playmakers on the outside.
They're
right?
Their best receivers out for the season.
Right. They stopped the run. They have some of the best linebackers in the league. right? And they concentrate on stopping the run and running the football, and they're successful at it. But the culture that these guys come from,
yep.
You know, there's more than just talent, I think. And I'm trying to wrap my head around this, guys. And I think about the last guy we drafted from, like, Ohio State. Like I watched the Buckeyes Saturday night. There's about 9 guys on that team who I would love to draft, right?
Right.
But not only because of their talent ability, but because of the culture that they come from and how used to winning that they are. And I think that has to play into it.
Well, you look – I mean, again, thank you very much for the call. You look around the league, Philly Brown was a good receiver at Ohio State, making plays with Cam Newton there in Carolina. Ted Ginn has been bounced around the league, you know, since getting drafted in the first round and just making plays with Cam Newton on an undefeated football team. Jeremy Laurinaitis on the other side of the ball for the St. Louis Rams. And I'm not just, you know, just Buckeyes, but I get what he's saying. You know, successful programs, guys that don't fail. You look at Cam Hayward, you know, and the attention he's getting because of the Ironhead eye black. Yeah. But he just got paid this offseason and got re-upped for, you know, a very, very large deal in a Pittsburgh offense, or Pittsburgh defense, rather, that just lost, you know, Dick LeBeau and is in a transition. But he's become a mainstay there in Pittsburgh. And I'm sure he's going to be a guy that will be there as long as Mike Tomlin's there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I think what – And I'm not placing blame, but it's just you look at these organizations. Ron Rivera was probably one loss or two from getting run out in the middle of the football season. He was going to be the run out of in the middle of the season.
But what they did was they cut all their dead weight. They got rid of all their contracts. Yep. They went younger. And
they didn't mind cutting a guy like Greg Hardy, who was a bad apple.
No, then they let a lot of their veterans go that they didn't think were going to be a part of whatever it was that they were going to do when they would ultimately be successful. And that's part of the tough part about it, because you have the balance of organization building and you have the balance of wanting to keep your job for the people in those positions. And it is a tough balance. The thing about college winning, though, Oklahoma State, by the way, won a heck of a lot of games in college while Justin Gilbert was there. That was a good
program. But they're not champions, though.
Yeah, but what did Aaron Rodgers win in college? At Cal, not that much.
Nothing.
Tom Brady wasn't a huge winner at Michigan at that time. Was Drew Brees a big winner at Purdue?
His senior year he was. They won the Big Ten.
They won the Big Ten?
Yes.
Okay. Try to think who else.
Because my boy Mike Doss couldn't play cover two.
Shots fired. I just think it's about, you know, yesterday we saw Trumaine Johnson play a great game for them. Trumaine Johnson is from Montana.
Right.
You know, it's about getting these awesome. Where's Aaron Donald? Pittsburgh? Pitt?
Yep.
That wasn't a massively winning college program.
No.
It's about getting great athletes.
And you look at Revis
and
from Pitt.
Putting in a good scheme
yep.
and executing it. I think the winning part's important, but winning begets winning in the National Football League. Every team that's a winning program in college, since plenty of guys in the NFL, they don't all end up winners.
No. But, I mean, I think if you wanted to make a case for it, you can. If you wanted to make a case for a lot of the guys that are succeeding in the NFL that didn't come from a big program, you can definitely 100% make that case as well.
Certainly. All right, when we come back, the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Jim Donovan with us right after this.